It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It is wonderful to be with you again, and this is very important because we have part three of my message, Nine Reasons Why Bible-believing churches and Christians cannot be allowed to exist in the planned New Age, New World Order. Part three. Well, first we're going to have some very beautiful music. In fact, it's going to be a tremendous song. You know, I love Southern Gospel. I love anything that I call beautiful music. This will be the group Greater Vision, with a song, He Bowed and Washed My Feet. And right after Greater Vision sings this song, we'll have that message. Now, at the end of the message today, part three, I'm going to return again and have some concluding remarks for you. So stay tuned. And now, Greater Vision with He Bowed and Washed My Feet.
The moment our eyes met, I knew this was the night that I would betray him, the precious Lamb of God. No other disciple was aware of my plan till he rose from the table with something in his hand. His holy eyes pierced through me, revealing all my sin. I knew his wrath was coming, and this would be the end. But he bowed and he washed my feet, knowing that I was the cause of. Have scolded, he whispered peace as he bowed and he washed my feet. Judas fail him, but he's no worse than I. The moment I gave in to Satan's compromise, ungrateful that Jesus had saved me from hell, I was walking so proudly, and that's when I fell. His holy eyes pierced through me, revealing all my sin. I knew his wrath was coming, and this would be the end.
But he bowed, and he was my
God's purpose is to call out a people, whether they come from the Muslim world, Buddhist world, the Christian world, or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ. They may not even know the name of Jesus. And I think they are saved, and they are going to be in heaven with us. Robert Schuller, overjoyed. What I hear you saying is that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into human hearts and soul and life, even if they've been born into darkness and never had exposure to the Bible. Is that a correct interpretation of what you were saying? Billy Graham. Yes, it is, because I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world that have never seen a Bible or heard about a Bible and never heard of Jesus, but they believed in their hearts that there was a God. Billy Graham believes that Jesus is invisibly working in every religion on earth. He believes that Jesus is the more perfect way, but that these people don't know it and they are working out their salvation in whatever group they're in, Hinduism, Buddhism, or whatever. And that they, by being sincere, have Jesus in their hearts whether they know it or not, and they're saved. That's what he believes. Now, what does the Pope believe about this? Well, it's exactly the same. Here are the words of Pope John Paul II. You can get the new catechism. It's even better in terms of describing the Pope. But here are the words of His Holiness, John Paul II, in the book Crossing the Threshold of Hope. And I'm going to end with this because I want you to understand. You see, we have the man that many people believe is the greatest evangelical to have ever lived. Okay? Billy Graham. Over here in the Catholic world, we have Pope John Paul II, whom Billy Graham has said is the world's greatest spiritual leader. Billy Graham described the Pope as that. So I believe the world would agree to that. On any list of the world's most admired men, you're going to find two. Pope John Paul II and Billy Graham. Isn't that true? They always make the world's most admired list. Let me read to you about what the Pope has to say about the other religions. He said the words of the council, that's the Vatican Council that he agrees with, recall the conviction long rooted in the tradition of the existence of the seeds of the Word. People in other religion have been given seeds of the Word by God. This is present in all religions. In light of this conviction, the Catholic Church seeks to identify these seeds present in the great traditions of the Far East. For there is a ray of truth which enlightens all men. We affirm that here the position of the Council is inspired by truly universal concern. Universal. The Church is guided by the faith that God wants to save all humankind. So salvation is universal. All human beings are saved, he says. He goes on to say there is a kind of common root present in all religions. A common root present in all religions. Folks, I testify to you today that there is a root of the devil and there is a root of God. And those two roots are alien to each other and do not intertwine. And the Bible says that in Jesus Christ, there is all light and there is no darkness at all. That's what it says in the Word of God. Let me go in here real quick. Thus, these are the words of the Pope, instead of marveling at the fact that Providence allows such a great variety of religions, we should be amazed at the number of common elements found within them. At this point, it would be helpful to recall all the primitive religions, the animistic religions, you know, African tribal, witch doctor, Fiji Islands, voodoo, etc. It seems that those who practice them are particularly close to Christianity. And among them, the Church's missionaries find it easier to speak a common language. Is there, perhaps, in this veneration of ancestors, a kind of preparation for the Christian faith in the communion of the saints, meaning the dead saints? There is nothing strange, then, that the African and Asian animist would become believers in Christ. But he goes on to say, though, that Christ exists in every man, whether he knows it or not. There is a secret presence. He actually used that word. There is the secret presence of Christ. And that the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Muslim are following Christ but simply don't know it. And let me finish with this. He says, Christ came into the world for all these peoples. He redeemed them all and has His own ways of reaching each of them in the present phase of salvation history. In fact, many accept Him but remain in their own belief systems. Isn't that interesting? Can you remain a Hindu and accept Jesus? And can there be a secret presence of Christ that you know nothing about? Could it be? But you see, if you ask the Pope, do you believe in Jesus? He says, yes. Do you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for all mankind? Yes. Do you believe that only Jesus is the path to God? He would say, yes. But of course, Jesus is working invisibly and secretly in all of the religions of earth. And that's why the Pope has gone to India and received the mark of Shiva on his forehead by Hindu priestess. Why he has gone to Bangkok, Thailand and bowed before the great Buddhist monk there, the head of the Buddhist faith in Thailand, and honored all of those. He's also gone to the synagogue of Rome, the chief rabbi of Rome. And there I have the speech of the Pope. He actually told them that the Jews have their own ancient faith that ends with the Old Testament and that salvation is possible to the Jews through that Old Testament, which I think is very fascinating. So, Billy Graham believes this. The Pope believes this. And believe me, every name that you can imagine, from Bill Bright to Chuck Colson, you name them, practically, they believe this too. But they can all say, I believe in Jesus. It was Mother Teresa who was asked, are you born again? She said, I do not know the meaning of that word. Is Mother Teresa a Christian? She said she believes in Jesus. Was she a great humanitarian? Absolutely. I wish more Christians were like her, don't you? Isn't that an enigma in itself? But doesn't it say in the Bible that Satan comes as an angel of light? So we end up in this talk today with light. There is the false angel of light. It says there in the Bible too, in Corinthians, I believe it is, or Timothy. Correct me, let me know which one it is. I believe it's Timothy. That Satan does come as an angel of light. And that his ministers come as ministers of righteousness. And let me tell you something, there is a reason why the world loves the Pope then, isn't there? There is a reason why Billy Graham has his star on the Hollywood sidewalk star of fame, just like all the movie stars do. There's a reason why he's invited to the White House. Let me tell you, friends, if he was Pastor Joe Wright, who talked about sin and said, only through Jesus, and if you don't believe in Jesus, you will go to hell, how many places do you think he'd be invited back again? He wouldn't. But he would be of good cheer. And he would be blessed forever and ever. Well, God bless you and thank you all for coming tonight. Could we end with a word of prayer, please? Lord Jesus, I thank you for being our Father in heaven. And Lord, we've mentioned names tonight. And we ask, Lord, that you go into these people's heart and change them. Yes, change Billy Graham. He does mention the name of Christ. We appreciate that. But Lord, let him be convicted to tell people that Jesus is the only way and that through no other God can salvation be found. And that Christ is not present in anyone except those who have repented and call on the name of Jesus to be saved. Please bring that into Billy Graham's heart. Bring it into the Pope's heart. That the Pope can be saved and to understand this. What a great victory that would be, Lord Jesus. And Lord, it is possible. We know that these are the last days. It seems that nevertheless, you will call whoever you wish. We ask that even the Pope and Billy Graham be led into this truth. And if Billy Graham is saved and he's backslid today, Lord, we ask that you convict him of this and make him miserable until he will confess these things. Lord, we say the same thing about Bill Clinton, that you will make him miserable until he confesses that Jesus is Lord and that only through him can happiness and peace and joy be achieved. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you for the light that you are. And Lord, we ask you to dispel the darkness in each of our lives and lead us through that path of great cheer and great blessedness. In Jesus' name, amen.
My good friends, I hope that this three-part series, 9 Reasons Why Bible-Believing Christians and Churches Cannot Be Allowed to Exist in the New Age, New World Order That Is to Come, was a blessing to you. You know, I'd like to sum it all up before we leave the air today, because really, you see, I believe that this was an analysis for you to understand why the things that are going to happen to Christians in the last days will happen. And if we sum up these all of these things, these 9 reasons why, well, as far as the authorities go, the powers that be and the world culture, the dominating world culture that is so antichrist opposed to God, why they do not want us to even exist on this planet. When we analyze this, we really come up with just a few key principles that are so meaningful to you today. First of all, you see, the world is confused and divided and deceived as men go about deceiving and being deceived, as the Apostle Paul said it. You know, we go back in Kings, the book of Kings, 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And there we have the great prophet Elijah. He was confronted with Jezebel and with Ahab, the king and queen, who claimed to be religious, godly people, but worship false gods. And their 450 prophets of Baal persuaded many people to go their false way. And yet, evidently, there were a number of the people of Israel who had not quite made up their mind. You know, I think that's the way it is even in the Christian church today. There are most of the people that haven't even made up their mind who they're going to follow. And when you expose evil works, they get angry at you because they don't want to take a stand. They're compromisers. They're lukewarm, the Bible says. And God will spew them out of his mouth. Friends, the number of true Christians willing to stand up like Elijah did in his day, stand up today in these perilous end times are so few, we'd probably be shocked to know how few true Christians are. But look what Elijah said to the people. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Have you ever wanted to stand up and shout and tell the people of America exactly that? If Jesus is Lord, follow him. But if all your false idols and false gods and compromises and non-confrontational dialogue, if that's all your God to you and your world pleasures and your Bill Clinton and all the other heathen politicians, if all that's what's important to you, then follow after them. But don't call yourself a Christian. How long halt ye between two opinions? Now, the second real problem when we get to the root of all things is the fact that people today don't believe in the Word of God. Many people say to me, "You know, ever since we took prayer out of schools, America's gone straight downward." No! I never prayed as a young man. 50 years ago, we didn't pray in schools. But I'll tell you what, when I went home, we had a trusty Bible. People believed in the King James Bible. They didn't have 1,000 different horrible New Age satanic versions out there. And I believe that the written Word of God has to be our final authority. You see, in the 60s, especially, in the 60s, not only did the Beatles come over and the hippies and the drugs and the gurus and all that junk and trash, I'll tell you what, right here in America, we had our own horrible thing that we imported, or I should say exported, to the whole world. Yes, we brought in evils from abroad, and then we sent them these evil false versions. The Word of God began to be disrespected as more and more new versions came on the market. And see what I just said, on the market to make a profit. They copyrighted all of these. How can you copyright the Word of God? Absolute nonsense. There again, how long halt ye between two opinions? You want a Bible that you can market, or do you want the true Word of God? That cannot be sold. It's eternal. The Bible is God's trustworthy or authoritative book. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It's given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And so when people began to abandon the true Bible, then everything went to hell in a handbasket in America. And that's understandable. Now, a third thing that's happened is that people don't seem to understand what Christianity really is. I talked to one of my neighbors recently and asked them if they were a Christian. They said, well, yeah, I do believe in God. I said, well, have you ever accepted Jesus? Is Jesus in your heart and life? Well, I believe in him. I said, I'm glad that you believe in him. But you know, my friends, I tried to explain as nicely as I could to this gentleman that even the devils believe in Jesus, and they tremble and they shake because they know they rebelled and their eternal destination is a very hellish place of torment. It's not enough to believe. The Bible says God would have obedience over sacrifice. The Jews say, well, we can sacrifice. No, you can't. We can go wail at the temple wall. Your wailing won't get you anything. Wail and scream and holler and all day long. You can cry your eyes out. But until you accept Jesus, you repent of your sins, and he is Lord of your life, and you are obedient to him. And when you fall, you pray and ask Jesus for forgiveness. Friends, that's what we call grace. The grace of God cleanses us from all sin. And you know, grace isn't just something found in the New Testament. A lot of people say, oh, well, they didn't have grace back in the old days. They had the law. Let me tell you something, my friends. It says that Abraham believed in Jesus. He believed, not just that he believed intellectually like so many people do today, but he believed enough to give his life in obedience to God. And he believed, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And let's go to Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Was Noah a perfect man? Absolutely not. He did some very bad things, you know, after the flood particularly. Maybe you've done some bad things in your life. Maybe there's sins that you've covered up or hidden you don't want anybody to know about. But God knows those. He sees. You can't cover up your sins forever. Everything will come out eventually. Be sure your sins will find you out. And that's why God has given us grace. He will erase your sins and wash you clean as snow. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe Noah simply said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to obey you. I want you to be in my heart. I believe that Noah actually said that on his knees. I do. And that is when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That, like that great old kid song, the scriptural song. Genesis 6, verse 8. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Did he say, it's because I'm so smart, I can speak so many languages? Why, you know, I learned from all the great Hebrew teachers at the temple. I sat at the feet of Hillel and all the great... No. Paul said, it's by grace and not of works. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8. But you've got to ask for that gift, and you've got to pledge to Jesus you will obey him. And yes, we may fall, but God is just, and he will forgive you. Go to him. Now, finally, my friends, I want to leave you with this little message. You know, a lot of people say, oh my, things are bad. They're gonna come after us someday. Christians are gonna suffer great persecution. Well, I just want to bring you back to chapter 91, verse 11 of Psalms. You know, it says there's something, you are going to love it. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You know something, my friends? You have angels camped all about you. You don't even know about it, do you? He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. God knows. He knows we need protection. He knows we need mercy and love. And he has his angels. And my friends, I'd rather have one angel from the Lord Jesus Christ watching over me than 1,000 F-16 aircraft. And I say that as a retired U.S. Air Force officer. Do you have angels watching over you? Ask Jesus to come into your heart. And they'll be right there, guarding you, protecting you, keeping you in all your ways. Well, this is Tex Mars, pastor of Bible Home Church. It's been wonderful being with you. Hope you'll tune in next week. We're going to start a wonderful new series about soul winning. And you may be surprised at some of the things we teach that are so, ooh, they're radical. See you next week. God bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.